Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we covered the topic of brain herniation syndromes found under the neurology section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 67-year-old man is brought to the emergency department by his son due to abnormal behavior. The son reports that the patient appeared to be confused and had left-sided weakness. Approximately 5 days prior to presentation, the patient fell and hit his head. However, he decided to not seek medical care. On physical exam, the left pupil is unresponsive to light and there is 2 out of 5 left-sided weakness. A computerized tomography scan of the head demonstrates a convex-shaped hyperdensity on the left side of the brain. This is a case of uncal herniation with Kernighan's phenomenon. Let's continue with an introduction to brain herniation syndromes. Clinically, it is defined as brain tissue herniation that can result in compression of brain tissue and compression of vascular supply. In terms of the pathogenesis, space-occupying masses can result in mass effect with intracranial structure displacement, and this can include tumors, edema, and hemorrhage. Now let's discuss the herniation syndromes in more detail. Transtentorial herniations occur when the medial temporal lobe, especially the uncus, herniates through the tentorial notch. Clinical findings include the uncal herniation triad. This includes an ipsilateral unresponsive or blown pupil, hemiplegia, and decreased level of consciousness. The hemiplegia is typically contralateral. However, if the midbrain is compressed on the opposite side, it can result in ipsilateral hemiplegia, known as Kernighan's phenomenon. The decreased level of consciousness is secondary to compression of the midbrain reticular formation, and it can progress to a coma. Central herniation occurs when the brainstem becomes downwardly and centrally displaced. Clinical findings include unilateral or bilateral lateral rectus palsies in cases of mild central herniation that compresses the abducens nerve. They may also present with bilateral uncal herniation in cases of significant central herniation, and tonsillar herniation. Remember that cerebellar tonsils herniate through the foramen magnum, which can result in compression of the midbrain that leads to respiratory arrest, cardiovascular instability, and death. A subfalcine herniation occurs when the cingulate gyrus, as well as other structures, herniates under the falx cerebri. Clinical findings include that at times this can lead to anterior cerebral artery compression under the falx cerebri, resulting in infarction. In terms of treatment, prevention includes reducing intracranial pressure. This can occur by elevating the head of the bed or using hypertonics such as mannitol and hypertonic saline. One should also improve central nervous system perfusion. This can be done with fluids or vasopressors. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to brain herniation syndromes, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 65-year-old man is brought by ambulance to the emergency department after being knocked over onto the road by a motorcyclist while crossing the street. His past medical history includes an aortic valve replacement 6 years ago, and he has been taking warfarin daily since the procedure. On arrival to the emergency department, the patient is disoriented, cannot correctly name where he is, and complains of nausea and a severe headache. Physical exam is notable for a fixed and dilated pupil in his right eye, as well as a down-and-out deviated eye and ptosis. Neurologic exam also reveals weakness and paralysis in the patient's upper and lower extremities on the left side. Which of the following syndromes most likely characterizes this patient's presentation? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, central herniation. Choice 2, cerebellar tonsillar herniation. Choice 3, cingulate herniation. Choice 4, transcalvarial herniation. Or choice 5, uncal herniation. The best answer to this question is choice 5, uncal herniation. This patient on anticoagulation presenting after head trauma with signs of oculomotor nerve palsy as evidenced by a fixed and dilated pupil, a down and out deviated eye, and ptosis, as well as altered mental status and hemiplegia, most likely has uncal herniation syndrome. Uncal herniation occurs when the medial temporal lobe or the uncus herniates through the tentorial notch. Brain herniation syndromes occur when space-occupying masses, such as hemorrhage, edema, and tumors, cause intracranial structure displacement. This patient's history of a valve replacement that requires him to be anticoagulated puts him at a greater risk for intracerebral hemorrhage. An uncal herniation causes entrapment of the oculomotor nerve, or cranial nerve 3, leading to an eye that is deviated down and out due to an unopposed action of the lateral rectus and superior oblique muscles. In addition, patients may have headaches, nausea, altered mental status, and contralateral hemiparesis, though hemiparesis may be ipsilateral in 25% of patients if the cerebral peduncle is compressed against the tentorial edge. The classic triad of an uncal herniation includes an ipsilateral fixed and dilated pupil, hemiplegia, and a decreased level of consciousness. Symptoms of an uncal herniation worsen with time and may progress to loss of consciousness, coma, and respiratory arrest. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. Central herniation occurs when a large supratentorial space-occupying lesion pushes on the midbrain inferiorly, causing caudal displacement of the brainstem and potential rupture of the paramedian basilar artery branches. Central herniation causes patients to present with a rapid change in mental status, small and reactive pupils bilaterally, and Chain-Stokes respirations. Choice 2. Cerebellar tonsillar herniation occurs when posterior fossa mass lesions cause the cerebellar tonsils to herniate into the foramen magnum. Respiratory arrest, coma, and death may result if medullary compression occurs. Choice 3. Cingulate herniation or subfalcine herniation occurs when a mass lesion of the frontal lobe causes herniation of the innermost part of the frontal lobe under the falx cerebri. Cingulate herniation does not cause specific signs or symptoms, though the anterior cerebral artery may be compressed, leading to contralateral lower limb paralysis and sensory loss. This patient's pupillary findings with a fixed and dilated pupil makes uncal herniation more likely. Choice 4. Transcalvarial herniation, also known as external herniation, is the displacement of part of the brain through a defect in the skull, such as during craniectomy or a fracture site. Finally, a bullet summary. Uncal herniation presents with a cranial nerve 3 abnormality, such as a fixed and dilated pupil, a down and out deviated eye, and ptosis, as well as hemiplegia and altered mental status. That's all for this review about brain herniation syndromes. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session for MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on medbullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.